Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, live from West Palm Beach, the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, which the Nationals share here with the Astros. Brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. Brian Dozier just joined us. Was outstanding. You know, I'm always reminded really quickly, and it took all of one interview today, why I love coming down here so much as a show. A few things happen. Number one, we get access to a bunch of the players and build relationships that help the show for the year, obviously. But I think from a listening standpoint, more than anything else, you get to know these guys in a way that during the regular season, you're not always going to be able to. It's just a little bit different. There's a game that night.
Yeah, it's less formal.
They're getting ready to play in a game that matters. This is very laid back. These guys will let you in a little bit. But Brian Dozier, if you just missed that, you got to go to thefandc.com, and there are going to be other interviews today. Davey Martinez at 1 o'clock, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Ryan Zimmerman going to join us as well. But just must-listen content. If you like baseball in D.C., the analysis you're getting from these players, the honesty with which they're answering questions, and then the lens into the dudes behind the stats and the ball cap really is great.
No, it is awesome. And you can see why Dozier's so well thought of around baseball.
By the way, signing autographs for every fan here right now. Still hasn't gotten into the clubhouse after practice.
Yeah, it's just as cool a guy as you will find, as approachable a guy as you'll find, as you know, gracious, funny, a great teammate, known as such. And listen, we go back to this. If he is healthy this year, as you know, he's obviously hoping to be, and the Nats hope he is. This is a steal, a guy that can hit 40 homers if everything goes great. I'm not necessarily predicting that, but is it unreasonable that he hits 30 out of the 5 or 6 spot for the Nats? I don't know if he's going to hit first or second as he did so often in Minnesota with a couple guys at the top of their order here that are sort of built in, like you know Trey Turner and Adam Eaton. But he could be a force for them. He could be somebody that you know everybody's kind of scratching their heads going, man, why weren't we in on this? It's a potential coup for the Nats.
Could be a huge addition, and he's also going to upgrade their infield defense tremendously, which is something small that people don't think about very often, but it's vital. You know, pitching staffs who get ground balls, a guy like Joe Ross, they need infielders that can cover some ground that make routine play.
You got to be good up the middle.
Dozier can absolutely do that. You know, you look at the rest of the infield, though. At the corners, you've got your mainstays at third and first, and Anthony Rendon and Ryan Zimmerman, and up the middle at shortstop, Trey Turner back for another year. There is a chance, Danny, that you could get a monster season from any of those three guys. You know, Zimmerman is in the final year of his contract at this point, but you only have to go back 2 years to find him going 30 and 100.
Having a career year.
Flirting with 300. Rendon has finished in the top five in MVP voting. Trey Turner is a guy with all-star potential who's got a chance to be one of the better shortstops in baseball. I think Rendon has a ceiling he hasn't reached yet. He's kind of lived in Bryce Harper's shadow, has never gotten the attention or the credit he deserves. He's going to make an all-star team this year for the first time. And Turner's ceiling is still that of, remember when he got called up? Could he be an MVP type? Could he be a top-of-the-order
catalyst?
That's
what the talk was. Remember that?
It was. No, we don't view him that way anymore. But what if Rendon goes from outstanding to elite, from third or fourth best third baseman in baseball to right there with Nolan Arenado? He's not going to hit for the same number of homers or RBI, but he closes that gap. Now, what if Trey Turner makes the jump from good everyday starter to top three shortstop in baseball? All of a sudden, replacing Bryce Harper gets a little bit easier, and you've got that potential on the left side of the infield.
No, you certainly do. I mean, look, Rendon's pace last year, or really the last 2 years, if you look at it, he's finished over 300 both times. The strikeouts right at 82 of both years. He's walked a little bit more a couple years ago than he did this past year. But goodness gracious, he was basically a 330 homer bat playing gold glove caliber third base. They don't grow on trees. There's a lot of good third basemen in baseball right now. It's a pretty deep position, but he's really, really excellent. and he usually starts a little bit slow. We'll have a game or a couple of weeks where he just catches fire, where every time he swings the bat, it's just a seed somewhere. Think of that 6-for-6 game with three homers against the Mets a couple of years ago to kind of kickstart his season. But, man, oh, man, is he an underrated talent here in Washington. And you touched on Trey Turner, the untapped potential there. I think, to me, Turner needs to sort of how do I say this the right way? If he just sort of stays in his lane, because I think sometimes he maybe falls in love with homers, maybe falls in love with hitting fly balls and launch angles and stuff like that. I think a Lou Brown speech, right, is like, hit the ball on the ground and start legging him out. He's a 75 steal guy if things go right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the last couple of years, he's been in the mid-40s. He is a potential havoc wreaker on the bases.
Here's the compliment I can pay the Nationals from a position player standpoint this year. They don't have a hole. You know, they don't have a weakness. Last year, second base going in with Murphy on the DL, and you knew he wasn't going to be back right away, and he ended up lingering, not being available longer than we thought. That was a problem. Catcher was not just a problem in April. It was a problem all year. Mm-hmm. You've got Gomes and Suzuki behind the plate, Rendon at third, Turner at short, the depth of Defoe, who started a ton behind both of those guys. Dozier now at second with Kendrick and Defoe behind him. Zimmerman and Matt Adams, who's back, we haven't really talked about, providing power as a left-handed stick against righties off the bench. Kendrick can play first as well. So there's depth at every one of those positions. The outfield, we can talk about Juan Soto today and tomorrow and whether or not he can repeat last year's performance over 162 if one of those natural sophomore slumps could be in order. But here's what I know. You've got a really good left fielder, a very solid right fielder in Adam Eaton, and if Victor Robles is who people think he is in center, your outfield's going to be well above average even without Bryce Harper. You got Taylor who can come off the bench. You got Kendrick still. There's not a position you look at and you go, darn it, they're just not good enough there. And they've had at least one of those spots the last few years. They don't this year.
You may be devoid of the highest of the high end, right? You may be devoid of an MVP candidate.
Yeah, you've got a lot of guys who are good and maybe not the great player anymore.
But you've got pretty much, you know, eight guys at a time, and then you start putting Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin out there, but just eight position players. You got eight guys that, I was thinking about this in football terms, would these guys start for a contender? Would these guys start for the majority of the teams in the league? And the answer all around the Nationals is yes.
What would you rather have? And this really is the question that owners are being asked all offseason.
Yeah.
One or two of the best players in the game, or a bunch of all-star caliber players.
Yeah.
You know, the Nationals have chosen
chosen the latter, sure.
Over A, literally and figuratively, when it comes to the money with Bryce Harper and kind of the roster that we're talking about. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Devontae Smith-Pelly has cleared waivers, by the way. So, Smith-Pelly getting through waivers, going to be placed in the minors in the Capitals organization, at least initially. And we'll see if a deal ultimately gets worked out and he leaves the organization or perhaps works his way back to Washington. We'll be back in Washington early next week. Right now we're at spring training brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com and let their family build a home for yours. Still to be joined today by Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Ryan Zimmerman. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny live from Nats Spring Training brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. It's beautiful in West Palm Beach, where we are enjoying spring training baseball. The games actually begin on Saturday. There was a little buzz today in the clubhouse. We were talking to Andrew Stevenson and a couple of the guys who, and they're ready to play games. It was funny. I said, it's crazy to me. You guys just get here. You start playing games right away. But then again, I suppose it's not football where you're not learning a new playbook.
Right.
You're not installing
some new
scheme.
There's no walkthroughs other than like a bunt defense here or there. I mean, and a couple
baseball
pickoffs. Yeah, it's baseball.
So it's a week of getting ready, ramping back up, and then the games start, and you're playing those essentially every day for almost 7 months.
You need to see live pitching. There's just no substitute for that, right? There's nothing that you can kind of do other than just do it, right? In football practice, you do certain fundamentals. You practice X, Y, Z. In baseball, you just have to see whatever the number is for different guys, but 100, 200 live pitched baseballs to get ready timing-wise. You have to build up arm strength. There's just no substitute for doing it. So it's one of those sports where, you know, you risk wearing down, but you have to go through so many motions to get yourself ready for a season. It's why, you know, these guys do this for 6-7 weeks at a time, it seems like.
Danny did make it through the snow, through the ice, to Florida. We're very excited about that. We're also excited to be joined right now by Patrick Corbin, now of the Washington Nationals, second time on the show. So we were there the big day of the introductory press conference. That's a little different, though. That's kind of out of your element. You got the dress shirt on. You're walking around meeting a million people.
Everyone's staring at you.
I feel like we're now in your wheelhouse where you're just in team-issued gear, coming off of a field sweaty, playing some baseball.
Yeah, for sure. This is about the team here. I'm excited to be here. It's been great the first week or so, and just ready for the season.
How tired are you now?
Are you tired of yourself? Tired of you
are you? Are you over yourself? No, of PFPs, of doing pickoffs and stuff. Are you ready to face live hitters?
We faced live hitters once yesterday, so that was something different for us. Games are coming up here in a couple of days. So the good thing here is we go out there, we do a couple PFPs, we get it right, and then move on to something else. So it's not crazy. We're not on our feet all day. So
good.
That's always good. We do things for a reason here, it seems like, and I think that's what every player wants.
29-year-old lefty Patrick Corbin on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Have you gotten a feel yet for the other guys on the staff and kind of how they go about their work? I know it always is eye-popping to people to see Max Scherzer those first couple of days. Like when he did his bit where he sings the anthem to himself before he starts his throwing to kind of go through all the motions exactly as they'll be on a game day. Had you seen that before where you're like, what is this guy doing?
What is this crazy person doing?
I was right next to him warming up because we were alternating innings. So
I
did see him do it. And at one point I thought I should join him just because I didn't know what to do. But I just kept going with my routine and then kind of finished up. But he might have been singing it to himself.
For you, and Patrick Corbin is with us here on Grant and Danny, best year of your career last year, right? No secret. You'd never topped 200 strikeouts before. You were towards the top of the league. The aforementioned Max Scherzer, only a couple guys ahead of you. But 200 innings pitched, 240 Ks, ERA in a pretty good hitter's park at 3.15. What clicked for you kind of all together, and how do you carry that forward?
Mm-hmm. I think I wanted to get back to my first full season in the big leagues where I attacked the strike zone, got ahead of batters, and It wasn't like I was trying to strike out more guys this year. I wanted to just simplify, get back to that, have a quality first pitch strike, whether it was breaking balls or my fastball. So that was something I thought I did very well my first year that I wanted to bring back. And then being able to get the two strikes and finish guys off, and that was just something that we did last year, and just try to continue off that.
For a guy like you, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like you're playing for peanuts last year, but you make such a big jump in salary, and you get an awesome contract, and you were so sought after. I know myself, just being conscientious, I would feel more pressure or feel a need to perform. What is that like now? It was a little free and easy. You've been in Arizona forever. They knew everything about you. How do you try not to, every time you take the mound, prove the Nationals that they were right? You know, in February and March.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think as a big league pitcher, you try to win every game. You try to prepare yourself each and every day, no matter how much money you're making. And that's just kind of how I'm going to do. I'm going to come in, do the same thing I did last year. Work hard, go out there, compete every fifth day, and try to get better. I think there's always room for improvement. And to be on a staff like this, where guys have done it for a while, it's going to be helpful to learn from them, learn from our catchers that were brought in, and everybody that's involved. So I think you continue to do what you're good at, and everything will work out for itself.
Your slider is so nasty. It's kind of evil. It's shadowy. It's filthy. It's really, really – it's mean, I think, at times. Everything kind of works off that, right? Just the threat of that at times can make that fastball pop a little more, or, you know, get guys kind of off balance. What's the balance, though, for how much you want to throw it? You know what I mean? You kind of always have to keep the weapon – is that your finisher? It's almost like your Mortal Kombat finishing move. You see what I'm getting after here? Like, what's the balance between throwing your best pitch and the threat of your best pitch?
Yeah, well, I think we added a slower breaking ball last year or 2 years ago, halfway through a year, and it helped throw that pitch a little less, and just was different. Something in the lower 70s that kept them off balance, and was able to throw a fastball after that or throw that good slider. So I think it all goes down, comes back to getting strike one, getting ahead, and then you don't have to throw the pitch as much. So you just get ahead, put the hitter on the defense, and work from there.
How's married life so far? You got married in the off season. Yeah. A lot of changes personally. How's that going?
It feels the same. We've been together for 9 years now, so been living together for a long time. So we actually just bought a house, I think, yesterday here. So we'll see
oh,
how
wow.
that goes. Yeah.
You're just leveling up into adulthood, man. Right. Did you get life insurance too?
That's a big expense for you to basically have no involvement whatsoever. By the way.
Yeah.
Now, having
just
gotten married myself, I could be there every day, and I'll still have no involvement. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you were with her, it's still nothing that you necessarily picked out or wanted. So it doesn't matter that you weren't there, but that's a big step. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited. She's wanted to be closer to water, so I think this will be a spot we'll be for a while and see how it goes.
If we're going out for dinner tonight, you, me, Danny, and Dar, and you're not eating for necessarily health, but you're just eating for what you'd enjoy, what meal are you ordering?
I love going to new places and stuff like that. We actually went to probably steak, I would say, but we went to 1,000 North, I believe. It's kind of up in Jupiter area, and very good restaurant. And I go to open the door, and Ricky Fowler's behind us, so that was kind of something.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was like our first meal out here. So we go to sit down, and then Derek Jeter walks in, and he's sitting at that table behind us. So I was like, all right, this has to be good.
So, that's where we got to go for dinner.
That's not bad. Do you get wowed? Like, were you like, oh, my God, Ricky Fowler? Because I'd be like, I don't care about that guy at all. Oh, my God, that's Patrick Corbin, right? Do you get wowed?
Not really. I don't even know who would – I'd be like, oh, my God, I got to go talk to him.
What about actors or actresses?
Like, I don't know. I just don't think that's my personality, I guess. So I would just – I mean, it was just I was more excited that this food's going to probably be pretty good.
Yeah, I got it.
It's going to be a nice step. What about TV shows? Another thing we've been asking guys is there anything that you're watching right now or you're binging
so
on?
Much downtime.
I just finished up Ozark. That was pretty good. So
season good two or you got
yeah, to, season okay. two. Yeah, so looking forward for that to keep going. But I'm excited about Game of Thrones, so that's my favorite show of all time. Good. So just can't wait for that to
You caught up? You're up to date on everything?
Yeah.
Who's going to sit the Iron Throne when the whole thing's over? If you got to put – because there's betting odds on this kind of stuff. You got to put your wager down right now. Who wins?
I mean, Jon Snow is the main character. I would say probably him.
What about Arya Stark?
Arya Stark's not getting great odds.
Okay.
She's a disciple.
I don't watch the show.
She's
man.
A disciple of the Faceless Man, as you know. The Faceless God.
This is his move. I just talked The Bachelor with
Brian Dozier.
Brian Dozier. That's more what I like.
Yeah.
Danny's more of a Game of Thrones
this
guy.
This is me striking back right now.
Yeah. I've never seen The Bachelor, so.
Good for
You're
you.
Missing out.
Good for you.
You and the wife especially. She might really like it.
You eat steak and you watch Game of Thrones, Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, for sure.
Patrick, it's been great having you on the show, buddy, and we are pumped to have you here in Washington, D.C. this year. It's going to be cool. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for him.
Yep.
Patrick Corbin on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting live from spring training, Grant and Danny. Thanks to our friends from Van Meter Homes who sent us on the road. Join the family and go to VanMeterHomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. Breaking news to react to, and we'll continue our trek through the Nats clubhouse with live interviews on site here. Davey Martinez is coming up in 25 minutes. Max Scherzer, Ryan Zimmerman still scheduled to join us as well. If you missed any of the interviews we've done to this point, including Brian Dozier, who was fantastic, or Patrick Corbin, who just got off the air with us and was really good as well, go to thefandc.com after we're done today. Carl Hagelin's a Washington Capital. The Caps trying to go back-to-back, trying to win the Metro again this season, something they accomplished 4 straight years under Barry Trotz and year 1 under Todd Reirden, are chasing Trotz's New York Islanders. And they wanted to infuse some speed and some goal-scoring ability. So they're going out and getting Hagelin from the L.A. Kings. Now, at 30 years old, Hagelin has scored just twice all season, has only 8 points in 38 games. Started his year in Pittsburgh and then went to Los Angeles. So he's being moved again. Now, frankly, Danny, he's not what he was 2 or 3 years ago when he tormented the Capitals with the what was called the HBK line at the time. And I think that was Hagelin, Bonino, and Kunackle.
Kessel.
Yeah. You're right. That's who it was. Kessel was the third member of that line. But they just killed the Caps with their speed. He's a Swedish guy who can fly. His numbers are down. But I like the trade. I'm not sure if they put him on the third line, and this is bad news for Burakovsky. Doesn't seem like a fourth-line player to me. But he gives you another option with some skill and some offense. He was averaging about 15 minutes on the ice.
Yeah, so he's never been a guy that, I guess, lived up to all the billing. You know what I mean? He's one of these super speed and skilled players. Like, I've always gotten the sense that, you know, regular season stat-wise, it's always kind of been disappointing. I don't think he's ever topped 20 goals in a season, if memory serves. But I know this. That dude, I hated seeing him on the ice in Pittsburgh and Washington playoff series, right? I mean, there are sometimes guys that just, you know, winning puck possessions and some of the things that aren't great in terms of the regular standard scoring options. This, to me, is about adding speed. It's about, keeping pucks deep and maybe winning a possession or two for this club. Not a, you know, a prolific scorer by any stretch of the imagination, but an effective player, certainly. And the most important thing to me, he cannot hurt me this year, Grant. He cannot hurt me as an opponent, much like Anibal Sanchez signing with the Nationals. He cannot pitch against the Nationals if he's on the Nationals. Hagelin cannot injure me or ruin my day because he doesn't play for the opposing team.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he necessarily even needs to have a design dedicated kind of carved out role right away. Like, my thought would be,
what do you envision for him?
I would say third line wing, to be honest with you. Like, somebody who, to me, offensively, would skate with Lars Eller. Now, does that mean that's bad news for Andrei Burakovsky, who has that role right now? I would think so. But have they made up their mind on Burakovsky? We don't know.
Yeah.
With the deadline looming, they could move Andrei Burakovsky. That creates the vacancy where now it's Brett Connolly skating with Eller, skating with Hagelin. You could also just have some speed and goal scoring on the fourth line, which wouldn't kill you either.
Yeah,
but
you still don't have a face-off guy. You still don't, you know, this is the versatility that Alan May has talked about a little bit, especially on with the Junks. I think Hagelin's a net positive. I don't know that this means they're done, though, right?
Well,
would there still be something else?
I don't think they're done either. I think they still have to add, as Tom, who hosted Crash in the Net last night here on The Fan, was discussing on his show. They need defensive depth, so that's something you can do on the cheap. Mm-hmm. This deal, by the way, was on the cheap, less than $2 million against your cap. His number was a little under $4 million, and the Kings apparently are retaining close to half of that, which is a really good sign for Washington in terms of the negotiation of the deal. They also need someone, as you said, who's a face-offs expert, you know, someone who can win some of those draws. He's not going to help in that regard. But when I guess when I look at that line on the third line, I do think most nights – I wonder what it would look like if you had someone more consistent than Burakovsky. And I wonder, is that what they're thinking? Now, let's just get someone who's a known commodity every single night. People love playing with him. I mean, it doesn't matter what line he was on. He's always immensely popular with his teammates because he's got speed, and speed creates chances.
Yeah, I love the idea with him and Eller. I think Eller is sort of spinning his wheels a little bit, hamster style, with some of his line mates, especially because how inconsistent Burakovsky is. I love the idea of a guy that's going to be flying down to put pressure on defense, because to me it's the, you know, in basketball sometimes they talk about the secondary assist. I know hockey has one, but bear with me. In basketball, sometimes the cutter that draws attention, right, who's active going to the basket, frees up the guy that who actually the play is for. Hagelin flying in, to me, can create space for trailers, create space for Eller a little bit.
You know what else I think is pivotal about this that's not going to get talked about a lot? I think he'll play on the penalty kill a ton. They just got rid of Devontae Smith-Pelly, who plays a lot of PK time. Chandler Stephenson right now is in the lineup almost every single night, and I think a big part of that is he's really good on the penalty kill. If Hagelin, who's a good penalty killer with speed, can basically be your Stephenson replacement on the kill, it frees up your options on the fourth line. In other words, if you want Travis Boyd to play on a wing with Nick Dowd night in and night out, and you want to be able to play Dmitri Yashkin, Well, you don't have to play Chandler Stephenson anymore if Hagelin can help you on the PK. I think that might be a big part of this as well. But if you're just hopping in the car, you're just getting tuned in to Grant and Danny today, the Capitals have made a trade, acquiring forward Carl Hagelin from the LA Kings. They're giving up a third-round pick in 2019 and a conditional sixth in the 2020 entry draft. They're in win-now mode, it goes without saying, as they try to defend the Stanley Cup win of 1 year ago. Quote just coming across here from General Manager Brian McClellan. We're pleased to welcome Carl to our organization. We felt this trade enables us to add depth up front and provides us with a veteran player with a tremendous amount of speed to help us on the penalty kill. So that is Brian McClellan on today's breaking news. Davey Martinez of the Nationals in less than 20 minutes. Live from spring training, we're Grant and Danny on your flagship home for both the Nats and the Caps. 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny at spring training. Live from Nats Camp. Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to VanMeterHomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. There is news to be had on the Bryce Harper front, if we can call it that. It's another report. It feels at this point more like speculation, but just doing our due diligence here. Philly.com is reporting that the Phillies are confident they will sign Bryce Harper as negotiations are now picking up since Manny Machado got his 10-year, $300 million deal. So Machado shocked the industry by getting $300. The expectation as soon as he got $300 was that Harper was probably going to do better than that, because all offseason we've thought he was going to be the guy to break the record that Machado just broke. So here's the report from Clearwater. The Phillies, according to a source, are confident they will sign Harper as they have ramped up their negotiations since Machado got his deal done. The Phillies began the offseason with the expectation that they would sign either Harper or Machado. That expectation, according to the source, has not changed. The contract the Padres gave Machado, $300 million over 10 years, proved too costly for the Phillies. GM Matt Klentak saying, it exceeded our valuation, and sometimes you have to be willing to walk away, end quote. Now, here's a few things I know based on the people I've talked to that are kind of in the know with what's going on with Bryce Harper. The Phillies apparently liked Harper more than Machado. The Phillies are worth, in their opinion, Harper was worth more to them than Machado. I'm sure they were surprised, like everyone else, that Machado got $300 million. That's not the case for every team, though, by the way.
Right.
The Padres, by all accounts, liked Machado more than Harper, as did the White Sox. So there's a couple teams that were higher on the infielder, not the outfielder. In terms of the Phillies, though, you finished two games back of the Nats last year. You're about .500. You went and got JT Realmuto as the best catcher in the sport. You've dramatically improved your infield by going and getting Gene Segura. You went and got Andrew McCutchen, who's now your left fielder. They have improved themselves substantially. Still don't have the pitching probably to necessarily be division favorites going into the year. But if they can bring in Bryce Harper, what is expected to be an 80 to 82 win team becomes an 86 to 88 win team. You're a favorite for the wild card. You're in the hunt for the division championship. Is that worth backing up the Brinks truck, setting that record, ending this charade, and giving Bryce what he wants?
Yeah, I hate them because they're the Phillies, but just in terms of the construction, I really like what they've done. I love Segura. The only down year he's had over the last several is when he had a tragedy in his family, lost his infant daughter. That was the only time he was down at all. Since then, he's basically a ball in play, speed demon, hitting over 300. He's going to help you. You know about Realmuto. You know about the guy at the top of the rotation, Aaron Nola, Cy Young candidate. They added David Robertson. This is a group that I think is ready to contend. I'd still probably put them as maybe the third best team in the NL East, but if I fall asleep tonight, I don't wake up until October, and you told me the Phillies won this division, I wouldn't be shocked at that. This group is ready to
ascend. Without Harper?
Even without Harper. With Harper, I think, I don't know if they'd be the favorite.
They're certainly not the favorite. I mean, for me, the Braves are better. They proved it last year, and they've got better young pitching.
Right, I think the Nationals are better.
Harper doesn't change the fact that their pitching staff is thin, and their bullpen, while better because they got David Robertson, needs help. Now, you can fix that in season. I think Harper as a 6-7 win player maybe puts them over the top and gets them closer to that 90-win projection, which is what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Rizzo says all the time, I'm trying to build a 90-win ball club, and what my guys do with it is now up to them. That's, I think, the plan for everyone. That's probably what the Phillies are thinking as well. Here's what the Phillies have to debate, though. Who are they competing against? If the Phillies are offering $300 million, is anybody else?
And this was my point the other day, in so much as...
Like, why go to 325 or 350 if it's you against yourself?
Right. There's two ways this could go. You bid against yourself, or you just sort of... You know that you have the best position and you kind of hold your guns.
Matt Adams last year became a fan favorite here in Washington, and we were all disappointed when the team moved him to St. Louis as part of what was a kind of mini fire sale after things went off the rails. But here's the good news. Matt Adams is back, and the team gets to try again this year. I saw you in the clubhouse today, and I said, hey, did you kind of have a feeling at all this was how this was all going to play out? And as you join us now, why don't we start there, Matt? You leave, you go to St. Louis. You'd been there before as well. You get a reunion in Washington now to follow suit. Was there a master stroke here, a master plan?
No, I think it's part of the game. Didn't know really what was going to happen. Showed up to the field thinking I was going to play in that game that night, and then got called into Davey's office and told I was heading out to L.A. to meet with the Cardinals. But went in the off season just focused on, you know, getting ready for the upcoming season, not knowing where I was going to be. And, you know, the Nats came calling, and, you know, we struck a good deal. And I'm not the guy to kind of wait around. I love it here. Fell in love with it last year, and have a pretty good understanding that we're going to have a pretty good team this year.
There's probably a school of thought. There are agents who would tell you, hey, we got this offer. Let's see if we could do better. You really did. You're not joking. I mean, you got the offer. You took it. You came back. I don't know if that says something about the Nats or your personality. Why are you different than a lot of guys? I mean, look how long some of these free agency deals are lingering.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it goes for both of us. You know, we developed a pretty good relationship last year, and a pretty honest relationship. And going into it, you know, I want to know where I'm going to play so I can put that behind me and focus on getting ready for the season. And, I mean, I signed, I think, a week earlier than I did the first time I signed with Washington. So, I mean, I just got to trust what my agents are telling me. And, you know, I liked what I was hearing, so I wanted to come back and be a part of this special team that we got this year.
What do you think your role is going to be kind of going forward?
I don't know. I think I'm just going to be ready to go when my name's called upon. You know, Zim's our guy at first, and, you know, give him a blow every once in a while. And if they need me in the outfield again, you know, I'm going to get some work in out there down here, doing some drills and stuff with Bobby Henley, and we'll just see how it goes. But right now I'm taking it day by day, and whenever my name's called upon, I'm going to be ready to go.
Matt Adams back with the Nationals and back on Grant and Danny after a little cameo in St. Louis at the end of last season, joining us on 106.7 The Fan. Something I always wonder about, and you mentioned this, I want to delve into this with a guy who's kind of been through it. Is it difficult? You know, there are 80-plus free agents in baseball still available to sign to get ready for the year when you're a free agent. Like what guys like Harper, Machado have been going through. They're showing up to camp late because the prevailing thought is, well, it's just baseball. It's riding a bike. They'll get back. They get their 2 weeks. They play in a couple games. They'll be fine. Is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, the chemistry that you build with the guys. I think, you know, winning teams – you know, they come into camp from day one, and they start building that chemistry with everybody. You know, the way that, you know, the middle guys get to know each other, and, you know, the way they turn double plays together, the way the catchers and pitchers work together, the way guys feel comfortable in the batting order, everything goes into account in that kind of standpoint. But, you know, I think it's not the players' faults. I think there's a little loophole in the whole free agency system that, you know, needs to be fixed. And I think everybody would attest to that. We got too many, you know, guys that deserve to be on teams by now out there waiting to figure out who they're going to go play for this season, and that's in the end it's going to hurt baseball.
But then you got Machado, who did eventually get his $300 million. So at the highest end of the market, like if Bryce gets $325, that shows some health in terms of the big guys. But then you got guys that aren't those 26-year-old superstars that are getting phased out. Like, not to get personal with your salary, but I was shocked last year with how a value, basically much of a deal the Nats got on you with power, left-handed. Like, there's a whole tier of players that are getting less now. What's changed? What's happening?
I don't want to harp on it. I think that's a question for, you know, the owners and, you know, the front office people to answer that. Why the market has changed a little bit, but I think something's got to change because there's too many MLB ready players that, you know, look at Lucas Duda signing a minor league deal this year. Like, that guy's a proven big leaguer that deserves to be on a team and not signing a minor league deal. It's just, I don't know, I don't want to get too deep into it because it's not my place to speak on it. You know, that's for the agents and the owners and all that kind of stuff to deal with. But I think definitely something's got to change to help these guys out.
Matt Adams with us here on Grant and Danny live in West Palm Beach. You've been on some good teams. And last year, the expectations, rightfully so, for this Nats club were high because a lot of talent, including yourself. What do you want to be different this year to get back to playing the base kind of baseball that you guys know you're capable of playing?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen it the first couple of days in full squad workouts, just paying attention to the little details. You know, whether we're doing, you know, bunt plays or pop-up priorities, you know, be involved, be convicted in doing the drills right. And, you know, that's the message from the top down so far this year, and it's honestly awesome. You know, the vibe in camp this year compared to last year is, you know, we're hungry. We want to go out there and win. And if we do something not right the first time, then we're going to do it again until we get it right. And I think that goes a long way in just, you know, focusing on doing the little things right. You know, paying attention to detail, like I said earlier, and, you know, just putting good product out on the field and guys that are ready to play. And I think Davey's message this spring training has been, you know, we got to come together. We got to be there to pick each other up. And, you know, it's, like I said, the vibe here this year compared to last year is awesome.
Matt Adams on Grant and Danny. Well, we're pumped you're back, and it's good to see you again. We'll see you in D.C. after you guys are done camping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, 106.7,
the fans' coverage of the Washington Nationals live from West Palm Beach continues with skipper Davey Martinez to start next hour in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.